Ask an interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God to write a very simple title on the board this morning, and we're not going to be able to address every aspect of it, but I trust it's two words, and it's take time. Trust the Lord will take this and use it as He will in our life. If you will turn with me to the book of Luke in the 10th chapter, a very familiar passage of Scripture. In Luke 10, we'll begin reading with the 38th verse. Said, it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, speaking of Jesus, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. I want us to understand, Mary and Martha, they were sisters here, and they were, at this juncture in life, they were good women. They loved God. In spite of their sinful past, they loved the Lord. Their lives had been transformed, and now Jesus is coming to our house. So what would you do if Jesus was going to come to your house today? You sisters, let's start with you. What would you do if Jesus were going to come to your house? Brothers, what would you do? Jesus is coming over. We're going to let out at 12 o'clock, and you're going to get home. Well, we're going to have afternoon service here today, but if we were to leave at 12 o'clock and you got home by, say, 12:45, and we said at 1:30, Jesus is going to come knocking on the door, what would you be doing? Because Jesus is coming to your house. You know, when you have a guest that's especially maybe not just commonplace, you have an honored guest that is coming, you want everything to be just so, don't you? You want everything to be clean, everything put up and orderly. You want to have the meal prepared, and you don't want to have burned the rolls. Or the ugali, as it might be. You want everything to be just so. You want all the food to be cooked just right. Is that a normal expectation? When you have a guest over, you want everything to be taken of just nicely. Well, so Jesus came to the house of Mary and Martha, and it said Martha was cumbered about. Now it said Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. So it was like Jesus, for example, was in the living area, and there were those that came with him, and they were all sitting around, and Jesus was sharing the gospel with them. He was teaching them, and there was Mary, and she was listening too, and she was just sitting there. But her sister Martha was in the kitchen, and she was a little troubled, because it says that Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. You know, I think that my mother was one that during our camp meetings in Oregon, while others were sitting at the feet of Jesus in the sanctuary, she was in the kitchen cooking. And I think, and I remember talking with her one time, and I think she felt like maybe sometimes Martha got a bad rap. Now, I want us to understand Martha was doing things that needed to be done, okay? We understand that. Martha was preparing the food. And if she would have just come in and sat down and said, oh, we're not going to worry about feeding our guests, you know, that might have been all right for a while. But after a while, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock and no food, you kind of start to wonder, are they going to feed us anything or not? In Jesus, he was still in the flesh. He might have thought, well, it's time to go because we need to go somewhere and get something to eat if we're not getting anything here. So Martha was doing something that was very important, all right? It was lawful. It was expedient. It was necessary. But she was troubled that she was out busy trying to make food for the guests and here my sister sitting at the feet of Jesus. And so she came and asked the Lord about it. You know, is this right? that my sister sitting here doing this, listening, and I'm out, I'm working, I could really use some help. Have you ever been busy doing lawful things and you really needed some help, and there was someone just seemed like they were just sitting at the feet of Jesus? Well, Jesus said, "Martha, Martha," he said, "thou art careful." Now that was a good thing. You're careful about many things. But he said you're careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. He was not I don't believe Jesus was criticizing her for cooking. I don't believe he was criticizing her for taking care of her guests, but he was emphasizing one thing is needful, because hunger is going to come and go. You know, we'll have a meal at lunchtime, but, you know, supper's coming. I mean, another meal's going to come. We're going to get hungry again, and food comes and goes, but the things of God are necessary for us to get us all the way to heaven. There's one thing that's needful. In other words, there's one thing that is of utmost importance. So let's not allow the lawful, important cares of life overshadow the things that are most important. In other words, you need to take time for your soul. All of us, I appreciate, I know there are things that all of us could be doing differently this morning. Some of you might have wanted to have slept in this morning. Some of you might have had said, well, I need to go see about this, and I have work, and I have this. There's always things to do, and they're not all sinful. There's important things to do that if every day, what would you think if, brethren, what would you think if you got up and your wife just said, honey, there's no breakfast today, I'm sitting at the feet of Jesus. And lunchtime comes around and there's no food ready, honey, I'm sitting at the feet of Jesus, I'm just meditating. Supper comes around and you've been fasting all day and it wasn't by choice, and your wife says, honey, I'm still sitting at the feet of Jesus. There would come a meal that it would say, honey, I'm glad you've been sitting in the feet of Jesus, and I hope you've got a wonderful, kind attitude towards me, but I'm really getting hungry. Do you realize that the same thing applies to the men? Gets up and you need to go out and work and say, honey, I'm not going to work today, I'm going to sit at the feet of Jesus. And that's all right for one day, and she may be blessed to have you home. But then Tuesday rolls around, honey, I'm sitting at the feet of Jesus. And then it's time to buy groceries. Honey, I don't have any money for groceries because I've been sitting at the feet of Jesus. Do you understand there's a balance in all of this, don't you? I think that's self-evident, isn't it? There's a balance. And Jesus said, but don't neglect sitting at my feet. Because we can get so busy with the lawful cares of life, the things we need to take care of, that we can neglect the things of our soul. And the Lord wants us to take time. I want to encourage us this morning, with the busyness of life, let's put the Lord first. And that's why Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom. He didn't say to neglect the other. He didn't say, let your guests go hungry, but there's one thing that is needful, is really important. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We sing a song in our book, and it says, take time to be what? Take time to be holy. Do you know that takes time sometimes? Take time. In other words, put forth a concerted effort to serve the Lord. Take time to pray. Do you know it's easy to roll out of bed in the morning? You got your list of things to do. Take time with the Lord. Take time. This is not meant for anybody to be on a guilt trip this morning, all right? So if you feel a little bit, because I'm not done yet. But if you're feeling like, well, I'm kind of a... No, it's not meant to criticize, but I want to challenge us this morning. Let's put the Lord first in our life. If you've been a little bit neglectful in reading the Bible and your prayer time, take some time. Set aside some time. It doesn't happen by itself. But this is what's happening in our society. We are too busy. And let me tell you what, you can be too busy doing God's work. Now, I'm preaching to myself too, okay? You can be so busy doing God's work that maybe you didn't take the time in some other things that God wanted you to take time with. So the Lord wants us to be balanced in our lives, and sometimes we need to rebalance. Rebalance, because sometimes even on a tire, you know, those weights come off and it gets out of balance. So what do? You rebalance it until next time. Well, this is next time. Sunday morning, I think it's the 18th. This is the next time, okay? This is our time. The Lord wants us maybe to rebalance a little bit. Let's be careful to take time with the Lord. Let's be careful to take time to be in worship with the Lord. Let's take time to go to service and fellowship. Let's take time on a daily basis to pray and seek God. Because when we do that, let me just back up. I'm reminded of a poem that used to hang on my refrigerator when I was a child. And it was about the person that was so busy, they didn't take time to pray. You know, I got up and I had so much, I don't remember it all. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't take time to pray. And they went through the day and the week, and they were so busy with things, things didn't work out real well. Things weren't going good until the poem ends. I got up and I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. We have lawful things that are just pulling on us all the time. Lawful things. But let's recognize if we're so busy, we can't afford not to pray. Every day, take time with the Lord. Take time to feed. We're so inundated with influences and pressures of sin and temptation in the world. Let's take some of that time to feed on the things of God, that we would be equipped to face the busyness of life with the spirit and the attitude and the power that we can only get from Jesus Christ. So take time with the Lord. 100 years ago, the average parent spent 54% of their waking hours with their children. Now, I think probably that was because it was a more agrarian society, and you go plow the field, you take your son with you. If you're gonna be cooking and preparing, you have your daughter right there. And so there was a lot more together time than in our society has changed. But today they say that figure is 18%. Now, that's average. That's not the median. I think the median would be much less. Much less. That's an average. The average father spends 8 to 10 minutes per day with his children. 8 to 10 minutes per day with his children. The average family spends 37 minutes of time together during the day. But two words. You know where we're going? Take time. Because what kind of time do we spend as family time? Thank you. She knew exactly where I was headed. Yeah, we're all together. We're all sitting around in the living room. What are you doing? One person's on their iPad. Someone else is on their phone. Don't bother me. I'm busy. They're on their phone. Someone's on the iPad. Someone's playing a game on the computer. And someone else is up in their bedroom. Can I encourage us to take time? Take time as a family. Take time to be together. Take time to just visit. Take time to just be together. Do you know that the development of children is the well-being of children and young people actually is very closely tied with the amount of quality time that they can spend with their parents. It's very important. And we can say, but I'm trying to earn a living. Do you know what's more important than earning a living? Spending time with your children. See, there's a balance in all this. There's a balance in all that. But children, to those that have young children this morning, I will tell you, I know you hear older people say it, and I'm not going to say I'm old, but okay. Our children don't stay young very long. It goes very quickly. I know there's periods of life that you go through with children. It's like, will they ever get out of this stage? I know there's those times, but they grow up so quickly. They grow up so quickly. Take advantage of the time you have when they're young. Take advantage of the time and spend time with them. Do you know connection is so important and vital to a child's development? Family dinner. Do you know family dinner for a lot of people is a thing of the past? Do you realize it's valuable to be able to sit down together, mom and dad and the children, and sit down together at the table instead of grab and go? I'm not saying there's not a time for grab and go, but I will say this, and I say this by permission of the Lord and not by commandment. There is too much grab and go in our society. There's too much grab and go. It's not healthy. Take time. Sit down. Eat together. Take time. You say, well, what are we going to do? Play a game together. You know, I've heard people say, oh, it's not good. Wasting time playing games. There are some people that have that attitude. They would have done a lot better to have spent some time playing a game with their children. Taking time to just spend together with them. Doing something the children enjoy doing. Going on a walk together. Go play mini golf together. Go to the park together. Put a puzzle together. Just spend time. That can be many different things, but take time. Worship together, family worship. Are you having family worship together? Faithfully, regularly? Scripture over in Deuteronomy 6, verse 7 says, thou shalt teach them diligently. It's teaching the truth. Teach it diligently to thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by thy way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Talking about spending time together teaching your children, obviously most of all by our conduct. If you want your children to grow up knowing, talking about in young people's meeting or young people's class today about marriage and what qualities you want in someone else, you know what I told them? And we talked about how can you know the person you're interested in? How can you know what kind of a person they are? If you're a man, you'd like your wife, if you marry her, to treat you with respect. Well, see how she treats your father. See how she treats her siblings. Does she treat them with respect? Does she show that? You want to know how a young man is going to treat you as a wife? How does he treat his mother? How does he treat his sister? Is he selfish? Is it all about him? Or is he considerate of the women in his wife? If you see a young man or young woman getting upset and flying off the handle, I can guarantee you they'll do it to you when you marry him. I'm about guarantee it. So you look at, so then the thing about it is, let's look at our own life. What am I doing? What kind of a companion would I be if someone examined me based on how we treat people? And so that's our time of preparation. The point is this, for those of us that are parents, we want our children to grow up and be successful. We want our children to be successful in school and on the job, in marriage, if that's the course that they take in life. We want them most of all to be successful spiritually. The greatest gift that we can give to our children is setting that kind of an example. That they can know that I hope my boys treat their wives like I treat my wife. See, that should be the goal. As a wife, it should be, I hope that my daughter will treat her husband just like she has seen me treat my husband. That should be the goal. So there's places for adjustments in our life. But to spend the quality time teaching them about the Lord, showing them what it means to serve the Lord. But it takes time. Well, take time to, I mentioned some things you can do. Take time to help people together. Take time. I'll tell on myself a little bit. When I had the time, I was like, Lord, I need to know. What do you have for us Sunday? I had other things the latter part of the week. I was like, Lord, would you give me the message for Sunday? And the Lord immediately gave me these two words, take time. So as I was studying, I finished studying and I came running into the house. I said, all right, Vanessa, Renee, get ready. You ready to go? Let's go. Let's go. What are we doing? Come on, let's go. Well, no, it's okay. Let's just go. I was measuring up. I understand. So we went out and we spent time. We spread little cheer at Walmart together. And we did. So we went and it's like, well, let's see if there's someone that needs help. So we made a couple phone calls, found someone we can maybe help out. You know, that was something, it's like, let's do that together. I want to encourage families, look for things to do together as a family. Help someone together. It's time well spent. All right, we're going to move along to another area. In Genesis 2:18, now remember, take time. Take time. The Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make a help meet for him. I'd like to encourage those that are married this morning to take time. Take time with each other. There are periods of life that get so busy. I've shared this before. We had not had a babysitter after, I think it was Devin had been born. We had not had anybody to watch him for months. So then we were somewhere that I had some family that was able to watch him. So we, you know, we leave Devin with him as a baby or as a, you know, toddler or whatever, and we get in the car, and I looked over at Renee and said, who are you? Because life had revolved around getting the baby seat put up and everything's about the baby and everything's about... I want to encourage you all. Some say, well, I need to put my children first. That's wrong. Okay? I got an amen. I'm not the only one that feels this way. Your children are second to your marriage. You want your children to grow up in a healthy environment. You want your children to do well. Put your companion first, and your children will do much better. We say, but I need to take time. I need to take... Nah, you be sure that your husband or wife's taken care of. So it means taking time, and that's not always easy. I'm not being cavalier about it. It takes a concerted effort sometimes to take time, and I know that there's periods of life that get so busy, but if you're not finding the time, may I encourage you to set a time? Make time, set a time, take time. See, you know what? There's never a good time. So tell you what, Monday night at 7 o'clock, that is our time. Put the children to bed. And you know what? If they cry a little bit, they will survive. But 7 o'clock, it's our time. Let's spend some time together. It's important and it's valuable. There was a marriage counselor that had said that spending at least 5.5 hours a week interacting with your spouse can strengthen your marriage. But there is a little caveat to that, and that is that talking to each other, you say, well, we spend 5 hours arguing. That's not what I'm talking about. 5.5 hours talking to each other, paying attention to each other the way you did when you were dating. How long has it been? How long has it been? Makes me want to sing the song. Take time. Take time. And husbands, the scripture says, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Take time for. Take time for each other. Marriage is not a destination. You want me to say that again? Marriage is not a destination. It is a beginning. And it is a journey. And on a journey, there's valleys and hills, and there's rest areas, and there's long hauls. But I want to encourage you to take time. It pays off. It pays off. Take time to really spend. And as I was meditating, the Lord brought this to me. And I want to speak very practically, because I know that there are some times in marriage that maybe there's a valley. And I won't ask for a show of hands, but I think that I remember we were out in the meeting in Oregon. Someone that had been married 60 years, I think it was. It was over 50. I think it was 60. They said, wow, marriage is the hardest thing we've ever done. And they seem happy together. But in other words, there were things they had to work on. I mean, I would be hard-pressed to say that. But, you know, it'd be kind of embarrassing to say it, actually. But do you realize that there are going to be some hard things in marriage? And I thought about how sometimes people go through times in their marriage that maybe when you see the sky is blue, your companion sees it as gray. And it just seems like it doesn't, it just seems like that there's just, you go through a period where there's just opposites are really on the forefront. So here's my challenge. If you ever happen to go through a time like this, here's my challenge for you. You say, well, anytime it seems like there's interaction, it's just not dovetailing. You can put what other synonyms you want on that. But here's my challenge. Take time to say if it seems like everything that comes up, there's just, you're at odds with each other. Take time and say, let's spend time together and let's not talk about anything controversial. Let's just be together. And that means if anything comes up and we're not going to talk about anything that's caused the stresses. We're not going to talk about child stresses. We're not talking about your personality stresses. We're not talking about mine. Let's take a walk together. And if that means walking down the road not saying a word, let's do it together. Take time. Now, maybe a little difficult to say amen at this juncture. But I want to encourage you to take time and set aside time. And if it seems like it's at those times, just make an agreement. Say, hey, let's just spend time together. Let's go do something we enjoy doing, and let's leave all the other stuff behind. Do you realize that'll pay some good dividends? It'll pay some good dividends. It's worth it. There is another scripture that says in Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Taking time to walk and talk and share and listen. But you know that part of the marriage is intimacy, and that means taking time. There are times that intentionally there needs to be taken time together. The scripture in 1 Corinthians 7:3 says, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. Defraud ye not one another. In other words, what it's talking about is there are places in marriage that sometimes, whether it's intimacy or taking a walk, you have to set aside time to spend time together. And that's valuable. And it'll be a help to your marriages. And it'll be a help for your family. It'll be a blessing to your children. It'll be a blessing to the congregation and to society in general. But it takes intentional time. Rather than withdrawing oneself, that's why the scripture says don't defraud one another. Because in marriage, you're to be one flesh. That means communion. It means togetherness, whether walking, talking, and in intimacy. And that means taking that time to do that. There is another area that I would just touch on very briefly. I think it gets passed over sometimes. As your parents get older, when you grow up and you're out of the house, I have parents that are still living, and I thank God for that. Do you know that it's important to take time for your parents, even when you leave the home? Whether you're 18 or 50 or 60, if you have parents that are living, I would like to encourage you to take time for your parents. Don't get so busy. Don't get so busy that it's like, well, we've got other things to do and live life. There are people that are still important and care about you, and it means taking time to pick up the phone, taking time to do a little bit of traveling, to be together on the holidays, taking time to maybe go out of your schedule and your busyness to take time for people that are important in your life. So if you have parents that are living today, I want to encourage you to value the time that you have. Because there's going to come a day that your parents won't be there anymore. So let's take time and let's show them we love them. Personal time, and we will be done shortly. There's importance for personal time. You know, Jesus got so pressured with people. There were times he went out into the wilderness to spend some time with God. I think our world has overemphasized this in a selfish way, that it's all about me. That's not what I'm talking about. There are some of us, I am not rejuvenated by crowds. Some of you may be. I know there are people that get around crowds and they just draw energy from that. Crowds drain my energy. So there are times I need some alone time. I need some quiet time. But when I can do that, then it can fortify me and strengthen me to be what I should be with my family and with the crowd. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about in a selfish way here. So there's a balance in all this. Well, I just need, and pretty soon I'm neglecting family and the congregation, the work of God and jobs and school because I need me time. That becomes selfishness. That's not what I'm talking about. And then in closing, and I touched on it, but in Matthew 6, Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasure. Lay not up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust have corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. I'd like to encourage us to take time to lay up some treasure in heaven. That means that, yes, we have the lawful things to do, and I know we need money, and we have to work, and we have school, and all those things. But take time to feed the hungry, visit the sick, call those that might be discouraged, reach out to someone, do it individually, do it as a family, but take some time. Take some time to reach out to others and lay up some treasure in heaven. I know there's many other things that could be said. There's a lot that could be said on the topics that I've touched on and many other topics I haven't. But if you can take those two words home with you, I trust it'll be a blessing. Take time. And if there's an area that I've touched on this morning or that the Spirit has touched on in your life and it makes you a little uncomfortable, you know what that means? I just want to talk where we're living. What that means is the Lord's wanting you to take some time there. With your children, with your spouse, laying up some treasure in heaven. Take some time and the Lord will bless you. The Lord is interested in our lives practically, and He has some practical things He gives us to do that we can have stronger families, stronger congregations, personally, that we can be stronger in Him. Let's take time. Thank you for your attention and your time this morning. Amen.